Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being here. Tonight's going to be a very special program for me because I get to interview my best friend, Frank Brown, who has really gone through quite a transformation in his life. So we're going to have a good time. But before I introduce Frank, let's have our metaphysical moment. And I was going to continue the conversation about energy, but this week was had some events that I wanted to touch on because they're affecting all of us, and a lot of people are not don't realize what's going on. Wednesday was the full moon, and the full moon always affects people. Anyone who does emergency work, I used to do ambulance and rescue stuff, and everybody understood that on the full moon there was going to be more activity. All emergency rooms prepare for that. The police prepare for that. Most people don't pay attention to it, but either the full moon will energize you, which is what it did for me this time, or sometimes it will kind of sap your energy and make you unfocused. This Wednesday, there was a very powerful, very long lunar eclipse, which was not visible in North America. It was visible over most of the rest of the planet. And for me, I was feeling very focused. I did some great stuff in the morning. And about 4 o'clock, suddenly, I was exhausted. I couldn't focus. I was tired. Didn't really want to drink a ton of coffee to wake myself up. I wound up taking a nap. And then I got on Facebook, and one of the people who keeps track of all that stuff and posts wonderful detailed information pointed out that it was the lunar eclipse, and it had started a little bit after 4 p.m. So for most folks, you could have had that same energetic cycle during the course of your day, and you just would have been wondering why you were so tired on a Wednesday afternoon when there wasn't any reason for it. But there's also solar flare events that are more powerful than they have been for the last 11 years. It's an 11-year cycle. That's affecting the weather. That's affecting all kinds of electronic things, and it's also affecting all of us. There are other alignments that are happening. There have been a lot of eclipses this year, and every time one of those happens, we're affected, and usually it's a matter of making you feel unfocused and tired. I'm always relieved when I read something from one of the many people who keep track of that and post information about it, because then I know it's not me. It's not just that I'm tired or I've done something that didn't work for me. It's something that's going on the planet. And everything is energy. Everything is connected. We're connected to all of these energetic and celestial events, and they affect us. So something to think about in today's metaphysical moment. So now I'd like to introduce my best friend, Frank Brown, Frank McDonald Brown III, usually known when we were kids as FMB3. There were four of us.
Until I became Paco.
Until you became Paco, that's true. There were four of us, four guys that met on the first day of high school, yet in the first period when we were in homeroom, they called it prefect at our school. And we've been friends ever since. But Frank and I not only went through all of high school, we also went to college together. We played music together, sang folk songs and blues and some other things, and fought over girlfriends. And we've had a long history. So, you know, who cares, right? Why am I interviewing Frank on my show about metaphysics and how people's lives change as they become healers? Well, Frank comes from a very conservative background, and we'll tell you a little bit about that. And he's gone through a transformation over the last however many years, and he's now a very powerful healer. And I think it's fascinating. I was there to watch it, but for many people, I think it would be really fascinating to see how someone can go from one worldview and one set of experiences off to a completely different set of understandings and experiences. So what were you saying? About having been Paco. So where should we start the story? I mean, when you were a kid, your family was fairly conservative, politically, in terms of religion, all of that kind of stuff. Although your mom was a hoot.
Yeah. We used to get Christmas cards from the governor of New York. I always thought that was pretty strange. That's how conservative we were.
And you were the one person in our group of friends that wound up being in the military. And you had a whole career in the military. You've got an MBA. You have been in corporate America as a very high-level computer programmer. Right now, nobody teaches the stuff that you know. So you're
old.
Yeah, but thank goodness for all these people that need your knowledge that you're there. So, you know, that's a very conservative set of circumstances that you were living. And then what happened?
Oh, the bottom fell out. I was at a class last night, as a matter of fact, and somebody said, this amazing transformation happens in your life when you're 28. And then sometimes it happens again when you're 56. When I turned 56, I was diagnosed with cancer, had surgery and radiation therapy after that. A couple of years after that, I had a bankruptcy. And a couple of years after that, I got divorced. So that was a very busy period of about 6 years. I had a dog and two cats. They all died eventually. So it was some heavy stuff. And after the cancer, before the divorce, my wife at the time was a chiropractor, and one of her patients left a flyer up about this weekend with a Taoist priest from Wudan Mountain, and it was about Qigong and stuff like that, and I'd been studying Tai Chi for years. So she said, "Oh, Frank needs to go on this weekend." And it turned out the weekend was about healing other people, not about getting healed, using the qi that is developed during qigong and meditation and that sort of stuff. The whole name of the modality is called metaphysical external qi healing. And so all of a sudden, here I am with this Taoist master who does this powerful healing, hands-on kind of healing. And what was funny was I had met him before because I'd taken some Qigong classes from him, but, you know, Susan didn't know that, and neither. When I showed up, he was like, "You look familiar." and that's what started everything off. I took several seminars with him.
I remember when you called me after that weekend, because you were, you know, radio silence for the weekend. You were just completely away, and then you called me up, I think from the car, and you said, "Master Chen sounds like you." To which I responded, "Why, you think it's different in China?" And she said, "No, but he moved. I could see the energy and auras." And I said, "Oh, this is interesting. Welcome to my world." Yeah. It was a very exciting day.
It was for me. And so, then you came and visited. And that was very interesting.
Yeah, there were two things I remember from that. So, do you want to tell that story?
The The first thing was you came and visited, and we had dinner. And as was Susan and I at that point, we're both very active in the Latter-day Saint Church. And as was our habit, I said grace. And when I finished grace, you looked at me and said, "Do you have any idea how big you get when you do that?" And that was a surprise to me. I knew what you meant, but I had not, you know, I had no idea that someone could see that. Because I never prayed until I felt I was in contact with the Spirit. So I would wait. And I figured getting in contact with the Spirit probably made me something the equivalent of big. And then you and I did a healing session on Susan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was doing the stuff I'd learned in either one or two seminars I'd had since then, and it was based on five-element theory of traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture meridians, only moving qi energy generated by me rather than needles or medicine. And you looked over and said, "Do you have any idea how powerful the stuff you're doing is?" And of course, my answer to that was no. That's been a struggle for me since then.
Yeah. Yeah. You still haven't quite caught on to what you're doing and who you are. Although I think you're catching up.
And people keep telling me that. So that's always a surprise also. The first shocker, the first real shocker for me in my own little world was I had learned a healing methodology, a healing modality called quantum touch, which is similar in many ways to Reiki. And is a very wonderful healing modality. And I was in a class studying a different healing modality, which is called spiritual response therapy. And there was a guy about my age in the class who was complaining of having hip problems. And he said he'd been, you know, to the orthopedist, and he'd been to his doctor, and he'd been to the chiropractor, and he'd been to an acupuncturist, and this, that, and the other thing. And I said, "Well, you know, the next break, let me work on you for a few minutes, because I know this healing modality, and it's pretty good at relieving pain, and maybe I can at least make you more comfortable." And so I worked on him for definitely no more than 10 minutes, and he said, "Oh, that feels really good." And then he came back the next day and said, "My hip hasn't hurt since you worked on me." And then when we had the next class in the series about, you know, 3 or 6 months later, he said, "Frank, my hip never hurt again." And I wasn't ready for that information. You know that Marianne Williamson quote? I definitely wasn't ready to be a powerful healer.
Mm-hmm.
I think I felt like Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's the whole secret identity thing. Nobody knows who you really are.
And that's sort of been the way it's been in the corporate world. Mm-hmm. There are a few people around in the office who know, because I have one friend here who gets migraines, and I go over and her headache goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Oh, thank you." You know, it's like, "Oh, thank you very much. It's what I do." "Oh, I thought you were a programmer." Yeah, well.
Well, you got to take a trip to China with Master Chen.
Yes.
And that was quite a transformation also.
Yes. We went to Wudong Mountain, which was the birthplace of Tai Chi. And it's an incredibly mystical place. It's really a range of mountains, and there's a whole bunch of smaller mountains. And they're not mountains like, for the most part, like you and I are familiar with mountains that kind of, you know, creep up to the summit and then creep back down the other side. They're just these outthrustings of rock covered with vegetation and stuff. And they all lean towards the central mountain, and it's a very spiritual place. There are a lot of places of power there. And I had some amazing, and we were there sort of as a, not sort of, we were there as a Taoist pilgrimage. And we went to many of the Taoist sacred sites, and I had some incredible experiences there. And Master Chen was well known enough that there that we were on the other people who were had enough energy to watch TV at night noticed that we were on the news in China.
Mm. Wow.
We had been filmed doing stuff while we were in China because of who happened to be around at the time and what we were doing and who Master Chen is.
Right. So you got to go to the caves where people live in caves for decades. Meditating.
Yes, I got to meet a hermit who takes care of one of the shrines, and we had a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a picture of me and him just giggling, and I think he was giggling at me because I have blue eyes. and they don't see that over there that often. And he lives with thousands of bees that don't ever sting anybody. It was just a magical place.
And you've done other pilgrimage or trips to interesting places. I'm trying to remember what they were.
Well, I sure go to Toronto a lot.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
So that's a whole other part of your healing journey.
Yeah, eventually, I became aware of a group called the Rocky Mountain Mystery School under the guidance of a man named Gudni Gudnason, who is a resident of Iceland originally. And it's now called the Modern Mystery School. There's a lot of stuff out on the internet about it. And I started a path, their path as a healer there also. And that, you know, I learned things like etheric surgery and a whole new level of far outness.
Yeah.
You know, when you're healing somebody's body, at least you can reach out and go, yeah, I'm not doing the healing anyway. The energy or God is doing the healing. I'm just there to facilitate. But when you're working on somebody and you're working on their body, you can, you know, reach out and pat them on the arm and go, yep, I understand him. I know about bodies. His arm feels better because his arm is better. And when you're working on somebody's aura or their etheric body or something like that, and suddenly they physically feel better, especially if you're in the next room or in the next town, that begins to get that was a lot for my programmer left brain to handle, and it caused a lot of unrest in my life.
Yeah, well, you started to understand my work and how the upheaval in my life trying to figure out what was going on. Yeah, so you did go through a lot of hard times.
I did. After the divorce, I bounced in and out of psych ward twice because of my reaction to the antidepressants they put me on. And those were bad times. And I've had a couple other dark nights of the soul since then. You know, when you find yourself on your knees saying to God, oh, take me now. I don't want to do this anymore. But then you come out the other side.
Yep.
You're not the same person you were. And it's changed my work life, my quest for the spirit and for meaning beyond the material and the workaday changed who I was in very positive ways. And people at the office, including my management and the management above that level, they noticed it. I had always been I'm from Brooklyn, and it had an edge to me that got smoothed out in the rock tumbler. Now some other edges have gotten honed very sharply, but I don't use those on people anymore. And mm-hmm. I used to be fairly prickly.
Oh,
a good
yeah.
friend of mine said, "The problem, Frank, is just a big bear. The problem is you don't know whether you're going to get the teddy bear or the grizzly bear until you, after you've made contact." And that about summed it up. And a lot of that anger has gone away. It still pops up from time to time, but a lot of it's gone away.
Well, the Brooklyn edge of setting very firm boundaries, shall we say, is very useful. It's a useful tool and something to have available. It's not a whole lot of fun when it's what you do all the time. So, yeah, one of the things about our friendship is when you were in a really dark place, I was usually in pretty good shape and could keep you from falling off the face of the earth. And when I was in a really dark place, you were in a pretty good place and you took care of me. So it's been an honor and a pleasure to do that with you.
It's been fun walking the path together, yes. If I don't hear from you or you don't hear from me for a while, we check up on each other, and that's a good thing. And, of course, if something goes really strange in my life, I've been able to call you.
Yeah.
We bought a house from a couple that we knew, and there was one room in the basement that was just weird. You'd go down into it, and it just had a bad feeling to it. And it had a lock on the door, and there weren't any, you know, locks on the other doors. And it had a closet in it that it didn't have a doorknob even. It just had a lock. And when I'd open up that closet, it was, you know, it kind of looked like it had been a gun closet or something because it was lined with stuff, but it just felt icky. And it was a nice room, and I wanted to be able to use it for stuff, but Susan and I couldn't go into it. Mm-hmm. And we called you up. And you cleared out a bunch of stuff, and you told me some things to do, and I did them without burning down the house. And it was much better, and we were able to use the room after that. And much later, the couple we bought the house from parted ways, and we found out what had been going on in the room, and it was like, no wonder it felt icky.
Yes, I remember. It was quite the story.
It was just some strange stuff. I mean, it was nothing evil, but it was definitely uncomfortable stuff.
Yep.
And
yeah, I remember you saying you didn't want to be down there with the lights off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, ooh, no. And I'm not afraid of the dark, but no. It just had a bad energy until you cleared it out.
Yep.
And so that was a big help to me. And you've had me do some stuff for you, which was made me feel like I was able to pay you back for some of the stuff you've done for me.
Yeah, well, you take care of me, I take care of you, it all works out. And you're always surprised at the results you get.
Yeah, I had another strange. I went to a friend's house who teaches quantum touch. Like I said, that's very similar to Reiki. Through the mystery school, I was able to, I had already taken Reiki classes and stuff, but the mystery school has a connection to the original Japanese lineage. And so I was also able to take what was called Jikiden Reiki from like a third or fourth generation teacher from the person who originated Reiki. Anyway, I was at this. They had had a quantum touch seminar, and there were people that were working on each other and doing stuff, and they had this one guy on the floor, and he had some problem with his back, and I was sitting on the couch kind of watching, and I just had this thought, you know, one of the tools in spiritual response therapy is a thing called spiritual restructuring, and normally you have to do a full clearing on the person before you get to that, and what it's about is, if the spiritual body is out of alignment, it can pull the physical body out of alignment. So if you put everything in the spiritual body or etheric body back in the way it's supposed to be, it helps heal the physical. And this guy had problems with his back, and so I asked, and I said, and got a reply that I could, you know, it was okay if I worked on him too. And I asked if, nobody there, obviously, if it was okay, did I need to do a whole clearing on him before I did spiritual restructuring on his back? And I got a no. So spiritual restructuring is a modality that uses pendulum dowsing on charts. I didn't have the book with the charts in it. I had to borrow a thing that I could use for pendulum, but I did it just as if I had the book in front of me. Let's go to this, find a chart, do this, that kind of thing when I would do it. But the spiritual restructuring, I didn't need that. So I started adjusting the vertebra in his spine energetically, sitting on a couch with two other people who were watching me do it. And when I got down, slowly got down to the point where they were having all this trouble, all of a sudden he heaves this big sigh and a groan. Ugh, oh, that's so much better. And yeah, there's great rejoicing. Now the two people I'm sitting with, their jaws both dropped. So the girl says, can you help me with my TMJ? Oh, brother. Maybe I can help you with your TMJ. So I asked the same question. You know, it's obviously it's okay that I work with her because she asked me to. I say, right, do I need to do a full clearing on the energetic stuff before I do the spiritual stuff, the restructuring? Yes,
we're,
I do.
We're going to...
Oh, great. So go ahead.
We're almost at the commercial, so you're going to hear music coming up in a second. So. Yep, there it is. So after the break, I'll give out the phone number for people to call in with questions or comments, and we'll hear the rest of the story here on Empower Radio.
Hey, parents! Finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi, son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak...
I'm here if you want to talk.
...to 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean, I'll fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Adopt Us Kids and the Ad Council. And contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Over 1 million Americans at risk of foreclosure have been helped by Making Home Affordable. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. I'm
home. What if you didn't care about being on the fast track? Instead of flying to the big interview, what if you flew somewhere else altogether? Like a village in Botswana or a tiny island in the Pacific where needs are easy to see? What if you decided to share your skills with others and help someone else get ahead? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov. It's easy to take your world for granted. Most days go by without a whole lot of surprises. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if everything familiar becomes anything but? Would you be prepared? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit, make a plan, be informed today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
We're back. And today my guest is my lifelong friend, Frank Brown. And we've been talking about his journey from being pretty straight arrow corporate America to being a very powerful healer, much to his surprise and my delight. So you were telling the story about the gal you were working on, but before you continue that, I just want to give the call-in number for people that are listening in and might have questions or comments. That number is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. Call. We'll have some fun. So you were working on that gal and her TMJ.
When last we saw Frank, he was sitting on the couch with one astonished young lady who wanted her TMJ worked on, yes. And I was instructed that I needed to do a spiritual clearing on her before I did the restructuring kind of work. And I was like, okay, because I didn't know how long that was going to take. But again, now I needed the book and the charts, only I didn't have it. But I'm working with Spirit, and Spirit knows what's in the book, so I proceeded just as if I had the book. Okay, go to the first page, pick the blah, 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 you know, doing the jargon, swinging a pendulum, having a wonderful time, and it's moving just as if I had the book in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went down, and I even asked, how many of these do I have to clear? I got to clear, you know, she had six different issues that I needed to do extra clearing on. I did the six. When I cleared the sixth issue, she made the same noise the guy on the ground made. She went, oh, my jaw just moved. And I realized that the reason that I had to do this spiritual stuff first with her was because the problem with her jaw was caused by past life stuff, this life stuff, some karma thing, I don't know, something that had to do with her life and spirituality, rather than the structure of her etheric body.
Right.
And now the guy is sitting there going, gee, I wish I had something for you to work on. And, you know, and I gave the pendulum back to, well, actually it was a keychain with a rock on the end of it, back to the person who had loaned it to me. And Richard Gordon talks about it in his presentation about quantum touch. He had this kind of incredible result doing a healing, and this voice shouted in his head, that didn't happen. And he had to sit there and remind himself that it did, that it happened in front of a room full of people, and that this person was extremely in pain, and the pain went away, and the spine straightened, and she stood up straight, and she was suddenly taller than he was, and all of it really happened. I had to do the same thing about this. Yes, yeah. I was swinging this pendulum, and the guy's back reacted, and then I was doing the other stuff, and her jaw reacted, and there were witnesses.
Yeah.
And people were looking at me funny. And I was looking at me funny, which is a trick, let me tell you. So that's been my struggle all along, is to accept that, okay, I've been given a gift, and now I have to share that gift with other people, and then it will benefit them. And it's gotten more and more strong over the past year or so.
Yeah. Well, you know, it reminds me of something that one of my teachers, Greg Shelkin, used to say. He said, how many times do you have to have an experience before you believe it happened? And he also used to ask me, how many times do you have to do something before you believe you can do it? And he always followed that with, when the answer comes out to one, you're ready to go out and work on your own. You know, when you can have an experience once and go, oh, that's one of the things that happens in the universe, and now I know about it because I experienced it. And when you can do some kind of work you've never done before without questioning that it happened, then you can just go out and do the work. You're not always trying to figure out whether something actually happened or what's going on and why it's strange. I always say this work, the learning to do this work, is about being desensitized to weirdness, in the same way that medical people have to be desensitized to blood. you know, just strange things that you didn't expect to ever happen, that you didn't know could happen, that you don't understand, suddenly become commonplace. And you just go, oh, look at that. That's how that works. And then move on to the next strange thing that is going to be presented to you to learn from. So,
well, both doctors and spiritual healers learn the same lesson, which is that what you do is still subject to the free will of the person that you are working with.
Right.
And doctors can do wonderful healing things and the people die anyway. And doctors give people, you got death sentences of how long they have to live and they go right on living anyway.
Yep.
And the same thing is true with spiritual healing. You can give it your best shot and feel that there was a lot involved and nothing happens. And you can do something that you don't necessarily feel was such a powerful experience and the person has a remarkable result.
Right. I heard a firsthand story about a gal who was worked on by a revivalist minister in the tent, the whole thing, and his specialty was working on teeth. And after she was worked on, they went into a side room to rest, and her boyfriend said, let me look in your mouth, let me see what's going on. And he just kept going, this is amazing, this is totally amazing. And he called someone else over, and the guy went, that's incredible. She said, what? Said, we're watching your silver fillings turn to gold. And she said, I don't believe that. And instantaneously, they turned back to silver. Like,
Not in my mouth.
Right, exactly.
It's you and I actually worked on some... Go ahead.
It's just, you know, belief is extremely powerful. One of the other things that Greg was taught by his teachers was there has to be some sort of drama that allows the person who's getting the treatment to suspend their disbelief and allow the healing to happen. Because the way their illness occurred was a habit of belief, a habit of emotion, a habit of thought that they've always done. So you make a change, if they go back to the habit, it'll just change back to the way it was. And you know, his teachers were psychic surgeons and did very dramatic things, but there has to be something that the person experiences, like that deep sigh and release, where they go, oh, something happened here. And they can hold on to that and not put it back to the habit pattern.
Last night, one of my teachers, John Laughinghawk, put it slightly differently, but the same concept, which is the person has to at least recognize that there is a possibility for change.
Right. Right.
They don't believe it's even possible for them to heal, then the healing becomes impossible.
Right. But if there's some small dramatic moment or major dramatic moment, they will step out of the way and allow the shift in the energy that's been done by the healer and the healing modality to take effect.
You and I worked on someone together. I don't know if you remember that, but I had a friend who was suffering from cancer for maybe the third time.
Mm-hmm.
And this time it was some kind of internal cancer to, you know, ovaries, something like that, that was just, you know, known to be a death sentence. And you and I worked on her, and we'd get a feeling that something good had happened, and then the next day she'd be back to the way it was, and then later I found out how toxic her marriage was, and that she wanted out.
Right.
You know, it seemed like this was her way out. And the level of toxicity was testified to by the fact that the guy kept saying, sure, now she gets cancer.
Oh, dear.
It was all about him some way. And so
Right. Nothing
good was going to come of that, and it was her way of getting out of that situation.
Yeah. I'm going to invite people again to call in. The number is 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. Give us a call. So,
please.
Yeah. Please, call.
Call the phone. Please.
Variations on Henny Youngman jokes. How long have we been doing those? Don't tell anybody. They'll figure out how really old we are.
Yes. I won't tell us all. We found out about Henny Youngman during, because we watched some special on Comedy Through the Ages.
That's it.
That's it. That's yeah, my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Take my joke, please.
That was no accident. That was my, no, let's not do that anymore.
What people haven't heard yet in this conversation is that our relationship is one long comedy routine where we one up each other by playing with jokes that we've known for decades.
Or one down each other, as the case.
Or one down each other, exactly.
Yeah. I keep telling people that, you know, so many of the people I know are searching for their mission in life, searching for their purpose, and I found mine. I'm the entertainment.
You're the court jester.
I'm the court jester. You always say, live your life in such a way as so that when your feet hit the ground, the forces of the darkness say, oh no, not him again. And we decided they do the same thing with me, only they say, oh no, not him again. He's going to try and make us laugh.
And usually succeed.
Yeah, they don't like that much.
No, so. They're pretty serious. So, what else, you know, part of what I love doing with these conversations on the Farkas Files is show the similarities between everybody's journey. You know, the story has all kinds of different details, but the road from not having any sense of this stuff at all to being a practitioner includes the same kinds of things along the way. You know, finding a teacher, going on adventures, frequently leaving, going on what's called walkabout, you know, where you pretty much leave everything that was stable in your life behind and go off into the desert, whatever the version of the desert is. And you've kind of touched on that, but are there other things about the about what's gone on for you? Because you've had some interesting adventures.
Yeah. The trip to China was an incredible adventure. And I've gone up to Toronto for training with the school. And I've been out to San Diego and Portland and L.A. for training with the school. And then a few weeks I'm going to Japan.
Right.
And
those are long trainings. Those are a week or two weeks at a time.
It's gotten to 2 weeks at a time. And the amount of energy, the amount you can shift in a couple of weeks with the people who are with the people in the school who are doing the training is just absolutely amazing. And I've come back and it's been, you know, okay, now who am I? And it's taken, I've had to like re-enter society.
Yep.
And that's what I'm finding now is that I don't want to go back to the corporate world. I had been, there are two paths in the mystery school. And one is kind of like a priestly magical path, and the other is the healing and teaching path. And I've been on both. And I was convinced from the moment I first entered the school that I was supposed to be on the priestly, magic-y kind of path. And that I did the healing just as, you know, I was a warrior with a first aid kit. And the last time I went to Toronto and spent a lot of time examining that and receiving some training, I began to realize that I'm a corpsman with a machine gun.
That's more like it.
The healing part is much more of what my mission in life is than the warrior part. And I've always been deeply involved in the warrior part. But part of the training I've received is to, instead of creating from a place of protection and creating safety and keeping bad things out, you can also create from the energy of love and passion for life and connection with higher things. And I found that only through... I made that connection through the things I've done in the mystery school. And mm-hmm. it was just a total shift in my attitude towards a whole lot of stuff. And so now that's what's happening is I'm... You know, at the end of the show with Lynn, she had a web page and she had all this great stuff. And I haven't had that because I've sort of been underground. And that needs to stop. So I'll be developing a web page and promoting myself as a healer and teacher.
About
time. And that's a big shift.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Well, I can have you back on when you've got all that stuff up and running so that you can talk about what you're offering and we can revisit some of the stories, but you'll be able to tell the adventure that's going to unfold as you put yourself out there. So I know that was really difficult for me and sometimes still is. It's a whole other adventure.
Yeah. And Frank, what do you do? Okay.
Yeah, I went to a marketing seminar right after I started doing the househealing.com business. And for people that don't know where you can find information about my work, it's www.househealing.com. And in these seminars, you keep switching groups and, you know, doing your elevator speech and refining things. And I would say, I'm a house healer. I do remote healing of blah, blah, blah. And people would give me blank stares. So my intuition said, say you're a Ghostbuster. I was like, no, don't make me do this. So I said, I'm a house healer and Ghostbuster. And everybody went nuts. You're a Ghostbuster? Really? Really? That's so cool. I'm like, oh, God, help me. And now I say I'm a ghost rescuer, and it's a different conversation. But that was the beginning of it. And it's very interesting how you get pushed to present yourself in different ways so that people will get excited and curious about the work. And you know, marketing is always a conundrum for spiritual stuff because you're trying to explain things that, in practical terms, that you would normally talk about with your peers and other healers in a totally different language. And you try and come up with very practical ways to express it.
And I have two friends that have that same conundrum, and as best as I can tell, the way they got around it is they are now so busy traveling all around the world doing what they do from recommendations. And when I say around the world, I mean it. Japan, Africa, Europe, South America. They had somebody track them down from a Middle Eastern country to the United States and found out they were in Dublin and went to see them in Dublin. So they're so busy now they don't ever have to answer that question.
Right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. and hopefully the same will be true for you.
You bet.
You bet. So we've got about 5 minutes left. you don't have contact information for people to contact you at this point, or do you?
Well,
if people wanted to get a hold of you and have you do some work for them, how would they get in touch with you?
They could use my email address, which is F as in Frank, M as in McDonald, Brown, 3RD. As you said, I'm Frank McDonald Brown III, fmbrown3rd@yahoo.com. That would be the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And you're also on Facebook.
I am on Facebook.
They can find you as Frank Brown on Facebook, and they will see your smiling teddy bear faced.
Yes. Or they can find me as Frank Hermes on Facebook, and then they can see me with my eyes made up into gypsum makeup.
Now you're really coming out. I don't know.
Well, it was a large Shambhala community event.
Yep.
In L.A. that I went out for, and I was going to have a good time, and I did.
Yep, I remember.
And if they want to know about the school, they can look for modernmysteryschool.com. I'm listed there as a certified guide. And they can also check out the Golden Pyramid of Peace, which
Great.
Is another one of our things that we do.
So if you were going to give the pearl of wisdom, the summary, the what you want people to remember that you learned from your experiences, what's that?
I would quote Richard Bach in
Illusions.
Confessions of a Reluctant Messiah, and he's in which the character said, argue for your limitations, and they are yours.
They are yours. Mm-hmm.
Don't say you can't. Because like Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're correct.
Exactly. Cool. Well, I am always honored to be on this very strange and getting stranger journey with you. And we've been doing it a long time. I hope we're doing it for a very much longer time.
You bet.
Absolutely. So if people want to find out more about my work, it's at househealing.com. And we've just got a few more minutes left. One of the things I would really like is for people to give me feedback on what you would like to hear on this program, or make suggestions of people that could be interviewed. You can do that by emailing me at david@househealing.com, or find me on my Facebook page as David Franklin Farkas on Facebook, and let me know what you would like to see here. Directions you would like this show to go, because this is still pretty new and still feeling my way into what this show is supposed to be. And so far it's interviewing healers about their journey and how you stumble into this stuff and how it develops. Because I really want people to understand that it's a process and it takes a long time. One of the things we were joking about this morning is that most people, when you get to the first really strange, scary thing, whatever that experience is, go home, sit down in front of the TV with beer and a snack, and watch sports or reality TV and try to forget about it. They are not cut out for it. They are not going to integrate it. They are not going to do this. They will just do whatever they can to make believe it never happened. The people who sit back and say, oh, that was interesting, I have a lot to learn, how am I going to find out what that was, are the ones who stick it out, find their teachers, go through all these strange experiences and adventures and wind up being able to do incredible work helping people, which is an incredible privilege. And besides everything else, some of the strange stuff, once you get past it being strange, is really pretty funny and a lot of fun. So, we're hearing the ending music. So I just want to thank everybody for listening. We'll be back next week on Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern here on Empower Radio with the Farkas Files.
Good night, David.
Good night, Chet. And good night for NBC News.
Hey, parents! Finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi, son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak...
I'm here if you want to talk.
...to 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean... a fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.